Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Daryl. How the hell are you?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Daryl, good morning to you, buddy. Okay, we had Albert Breer on yesterday on Bull and Fox. He's given some credit to Hugh Jackson. Said that, and this is true, that the players still really like him, that the organization still seems to really, really like him. Not a lot of the fans seem to really like him, but I'm seeing some more people speak up here over time. So when we talk about his job and what's to come for his future, is there any sort of a threshold where, man, they can't really fire this guy if they get to this certain amount of wins? Or could it still be up in the air to you because John Dorsey is now the general manager of this football team?
Oh, last time I checked, Jimmy and Dee Haslam are the ones that own the team and write the checks, and they're the ones who decide who the head coach is with the way the organization is set up. Hugh Jackson does not report to John Dorsey. Hugh Jackson reports to ownership. So I've said it. I've been laughed at for saying it. I maintain it. Hugh Jackson has a better chance of being the head coach of this football team in 2019 than not. Fans certainly don't want to hear that, but I know what I observe in the locker room. I know what I see on the practice field, and it's pretty impossible to deny that the product on the field is vastly improved. And sure, John Dorsey has a tremendous amount of influence on that with the caliber of players that he's been able to bring in. But the Browns have played five of the most entertaining games and watchable games and been in each one of them. The players play hard for him. Even last year and the year before, the players did play hard for him. I think that there might have been a little spite toward the front office involved in some stuff. But if this football team continues to play this well and wins, I think Hugh Jackson's back next year, and I know fans don't want to hear it, but that's just the reality of the situation.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us. Look, the case has been made. I mean, they've been terrible for 2 years, and they've kept him. I would argue that part of it is they could not have gone in another direction, because who would they have gotten? They would have been the low man on the totem pole. Now things might be changing in that regard. People are talking about how much more talent has been infused on his team. They have all this money to spend. They have their full complement of draft picks. Daryl, I do want to ask you, though. I think John Dorsey, from what I've heard at times, I think you're right that right now Hugh still reports to the ownership. But is there any chance that that could change down the line now that John Dorsey's been here? He's gotten a chance to help try to change this organization to some extent. Might we be looking at a situation where John Dorsey gets a little more power going forward?
Well, ever since the departure of Joe Banner, this has been the structure of the organization, that the head coach reports independently to ownership. The general manager, head of personnel, or whatever title they gave at the time, reports directly to ownership. No, I don't see that changing for now. I think that the Haslams are very comfortable with the way the team is set up. They're not going to go out and hire a team president. Their son-in-law, J.W. Johnson, he's an executive vice president now, and overseeing a lot of things in the organization. But that structure of the GM and the head coach being separate from each other and reporting directly to ownership is the power structure that the Haslams have really become comfortable with.
Daryl, join us on the hotline. So if you look at this season so far, we had the question yesterday, how many wins should they have? And a lot of people think they should have more wins. And if that continues, if they keep playing close games and they win one, lose one, and everyone's saying, well, they should have more wins. They've got this dynamic quarterback. They've got this this guy who's on a record-setting pace at corner in Denzel Ward. If that continues, doesn't that make it hard for Hugh to make some giant case? We just going to look at wins and say, well, he won more games. But aren't you going to think that maybe a better coach could have won even more games?
Well, Hugh Jackson's not responsible for the tie against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hugh Jackson's not responsible for the fact that they lost at the New Orleans Saints. Hugh Jackson's not responsible that they lost in overtime.
Is he responsible for the win against the Jets?
I think Baker Mayfield is responsible for their win over the Jets. You give credit where it's due. My point is that coaching blunders have not cost the Cleveland Browns football games, okay? So I think it's a little disingenuous and unfair to say that, well, if Hugh Jackson were not the head coach of this football team, they'd be better than 2-2-1. If they had a better kicker to start the season, they'd be better than 2-2-1. If the officiating did their job, they would be better than 2-2-1. So I've not seen anything in the first 5 weeks where I say, you know what, Hugh Jackson's a terrible coach, and he is the reason they've not won more games, even though we sit here. And even the players in the locker room are still lamenting the fact that, hey, we should be 5-0, we should be 4-1. That's not Hugh Jackson's fault. He's not to blame for them not winning more games early. And I think that, you know, the nitpicking that goes on, while I think some of it is unfair, and because people just absolutely hate Hugh Jackson no matter what, because they can't forgive him over the 1-31, and they blame him a lot for that, I think that, you know, that judgment there and opinion gets clouded from fans. Is Hugh Jackson Vince Lombardi or Bill Belichick? No, but again, when I objectively look at the situation of the first five games and the start that the team is off to, you know, the team is playing hard. They're in each game. They have opportunities to win. They've had a few things that are out of their control go against them. And, you know, nitpicking what head coaches decide to do or don't decide to do on game day is something that the other 31 NFL markets do, so, or 30 NFL markets or 29 NFL markets, but, you know, welcome to the National Football League, or welcome back to the NFL, Cleveland, Ohio, because this is what everyone does around the league.
The Dangerous One, Darrell Ratta, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. If they beat the Chargers, can we start talking playoffs?
I don't really want to talk about playoffs until we get to the bye week. I don't. I think
not
it's
at all.
Too early.
Not competing. Nothing. Why?
Because this is a team that's been completely rebuilt. They're coming off an 0-16 season, and I think that if we start setting a bar too high, then you start to get a little unfair. Fans, sure, if you guys want to talk about playoffs right now, go for it. Knock yourselves out. I'm not. Because I'm kind of taking this like the Browns are. I'm taking this thing 1 week at a time. And if they're able to, they got, what, five games to go here before the bye? If they're able to go 3-2 over the next five games, and those games include, the Chargers, the Steelers, the Chiefs, and the Falcons, all playoff caliber teams, if they're able to be above 500 in that five-game stretch, when we get to November 11th after that Falcons game, I'll be more than happy to entertain the thought of playoffs. But if they don't go above 500, and they're 2-3 or 1-4 over the next five games, I think it's a wasted conversation. These next five games are going to determine, I think, how the final six when they return from that bye week kind of play out.
But if they beat the Chargers, you're 3-2-1. Say the Bengals end up losing to the Steelers. All right, that's 4-2. You're 3-2-1. Then there's a bunch of teams that are 3-2 or 3-2-1 or whatever, even 4-2. You're right there in the thick of it and becomes a tough division. And if I'm getting ready for November and I've played all these games, the Chargers are a good football team, Darrell. You know that. They've won back-to-back games. The only teams they've lost against are the Rams and the Chiefs, who are also really good football teams. So I think at 3-2-1, can a fan say that, hey, we've played with everybody, we've proven we can beat really good football teams at 3-2-1, damn it, dare to dream.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what fans do. I don't do that. I'm not a fan. So, you know, Tampa Bay, let's say they beat the Chargers, and then you got Tampa Bay, which is not a very good football team. You could sit here and say, okay, now you look into the crystal ball. Okay, they could be fourth. They could go 4-2-1 heading to Pittsburgh, which will obviously be a tough one. But then, you know, you got Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Atlanta, and if you can steal one of those final three games, you know, all of a sudden you set yourself up. But you know, that's fine. You know, that's what fans do, and fans should hope and expect that their football team can make a run toward the playoffs again. Welcome back to the NFL, Cleveland Browns. It's nice that we're having these type of discussions, other than you know, talking about which quarterback we should be scouting Saturday afternoon.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the show. Hey, Daryl, is Philip Rivers, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's a part of me, the football fan in me would like to see him, you know, win a Super Bowl and really cement that legacy. But I do. I think he's done enough in his career. But there will be some voters that will hold that against him, that he's not won the ultimate prize. But then the argument is, well, neither did Dan Marino, you know, so.
Just want to see what you thought about it, because I do, but there's some people who disagree.
Yeah, I do. I think Rivers has done enough to get into the Hall of Fame, absolutely. And you look at the way he's playing now, Ken, here this season, you know, he's kind of like Drew Brees. He's playing some of his best football that he's ever played. So, yeah, he. If I were a Hall of Fame voter and on that committee, I absolutely would vote for him.
Daryl, we had the discussion about Baker being a franchise quarterback after you had talked about it last week. His numbers right now are pedestrian. They're average numbers. 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on the year.
Right.
Obviously limited. It's not like he's been out there that much, and he is a rookie, so you're giving him a bit of a pass for that. And quarterback rating is around an 80, which is, you know, down
30 points higher than normal Browns quarterbacks ratings are, but continue.
Well, that's true. But it's way down there in terms of the ranking of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, yet Ken and I are sitting here with no – kind of no conflicting opinions that this guy is playing really good football. Are we getting crazy here?
Yeah, well, no, crazy, I wouldn't use the term crazy. I mean, his completion percentage isn't that great. It's 58%. You'd obviously want that. At minimum, it's 60%. Ideally, you want it around 62 to 64%. He's also been the victim of some drop passes as well. But this is where you have to look beyond just the box score and the statistics. And if you watch Baker Mayfield out there, you can see that he has the intangibles. Okay, how many times do we see a trick play get blown up at their own 5-yard line and them still drive down for a game-winning score? We never see those things happen, and Baker Mayfield made that happen. How many times have we seen the Cleveland Browns down 14 points and the team just roll over and play dead? We've seen it a lot.
Oh, you're right.
We no longer see that with Baker Mayfield. So I think you have to look at those intangibles and beyond just the statistical analysis. And if you do that, it's pretty obvious that the Browns may have found their guy.
Daryl, we thank you very much for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. Enjoy the game this weekend, guys. Talk to you next week.
The always wonderful Daryl Ryder on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. News dump coming up at 8 o'clock, and might it be time we kiss bye-bye to Michael Brantley. Coming up next, I want to expound on what he just said, because I don't think it's a dream anymore, especially if you beat the Los Angeles Chargers, that maybe you should be calling Mike Holmgren for playoff tickets.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.